Welcome to Polishing the Badge, bringing you real-life stories and career memories from dedicated law enforcement officers who have proudly served their communities. Here's your host, former police chief Mark Spahn.
There was a time when Saratoga Springs, New York, was known for its vices, crime, and corruption. It was a gangster town. Greg Veach is the retired chief of police from Saratoga Springs. His interest in the notorious history of his city inspired him to write two books detailing the era when gangsters ran the town and police looked the other way.
When they first incorporated the village, one of the things that was in the city charter was that the police were responsible for the suppression of gambling and nothing really else. No mention of criminals or thieves. It was just suppress gambling. And that was what the police board was supposed to do. And, of course, that was because we already had the influx of tourists, people with expendable cash, and they were looking to entertain themselves. And gambling joints sprung up almost as soon as the first buildings in Saratoga were built. And what happened was Saratoga sort of became unique in New York in that gambling has always been illegal, but it always had, in Saratoga Springs, the support of the population. And two major gamblers in the early days came to Saratoga Springs. One was John Morrissey, who was a sitting senator when he built a casino in Congress Park, right in the center of the town. And it was designed to rival the casinos in Europe, like the casinos in Monte Carlo or Baden-Baden in Germany. So they built this magnificent, wonderful, expensive casino, and all the richest people in the country were coming to Saratoga and gambling at John Morrissey's place. And then he was followed by a guy named Richard Canfield. And Richard Canfield was called the Prince of the Gamblers. Now, these names have kind of been forgotten by history because, of course, Luciano and Lansky and all those other guys came later. But to sort of set up the story of Saratoga Springs, these two early gamblers, they would pay off the population and keep the population of Saratoga Springs on their side.
Chief Veach said that Morrissey and the gentleman gambler Richard Canfield endeared themselves to the community, donating to charities, churches, or perhaps helping a widow pay off a mortgage.
They didn't really pay off public officials to the extent that we find later, and the reason is this. Once Richard Canfield, the last of the so-called gentleman gamblers, left Saratoga Springs, Saratoga tried to clean up, and they had a police chief and a commissioner that sort of suppressed gambling for 10 years. The problem was that Arnold Rothstein came to Saratoga Springs in 1917, and rather than pay off the population, Arnold Rothstein, with all the gambling infrastructure already in place in Saratoga, Arnold Rothstein just came with a suitcase full of cash and started paying off the public officials for the opportunity to have a gambling place. And then he went and built a massive gambling resort in Saratoga Springs. He told everybody that he was going to make the population or make the country forget about Morrissey and Canfield. And what he did was he built the first casino resort-style business model where he had a casino, a restaurant, and a nightclub all attached in the same building.
Arnold Rothstein's underlings included Lucky Luciano, Legs Diamond, and Dutch Schultz, who learned the gambling trade from Rothstein. But when Rothstein was killed at a card game in Manhattan in 1928, reportedly refusing to pay up for what he claimed was a rigged card game, Luciano, Diamond, and Schultz kept coming back to Saratoga Springs because the payoffs had been made and the political will to suppress gambling was just not there.
You didn't even have to draw your blinds. You could gamble in the wide open and nobody would bother taking a look at you. So that's kind of how it started and how we got to Luciano and Meyer Lansky. But Arnold Rothstein was sort of the linchpin where he just came in with so much money and started paying everybody off. And Saratoga's reputation stayed as it was. Meyer Lansky brought the casino idea, the resort casino idea, to Bugsy Siegel, and they brought it to Las Vegas. So Las Vegas was started in Saratoga Springs on Church Street. But Rothstein's murder sort of opened up the organized crime in the country, really, but in New York State, particularly where I'm interested in and have a particular interest in, upstate New York. All those gamblers, gangsters, came back to Saratoga Springs and sort of continued on his tradition of paying off the public officials and operating more or less openly. Very few raids, and the raids that did happen were sort of covered up by the police or done in an inept manner. There's stories of evidence being stolen from the police station by the gamblers. The same guys that fixed the 1919 World Series were in Saratoga Springs gambling just a couple of months before that. A couple of police officers lost some gambling equipment of Meyer Lansky's on the way to the station. So things like that were all sort of part of the Saratoga way, so to speak.
After decades of acceptance, looking the other way, and flat-out corruption in Saratoga Springs, the era of gambling and gangsters was about to change.
In the late 40s, early 50s, Senator Estes Kefauver from Tennessee had his famous Kefauver hearings about the tie-ups between the gangsters and the politicians, and they started looking where you would expect to start looking, you know, New York City, Cleveland, Miami, Kansas City, Buffalo. You would look at those places and think, yeah, the organized crime is sort of entrenched there. And when they started their hearings, they got to New York City and they started hearing about this little town in upstate New York. And what they found was just a massive, sort of a gold mine for organized crime, because they essentially could gamble up here legally, and nobody interfered with them. You know, all the wealthy people and all the tourists that come to Saratoga for the racetrack, they all gambled the night away at these gambling places that the gangsters had. Joe Adonis and Frank Costello had an interest in a place called the Piping Rock Club, and the Piping Rock Club was called the jewel of the gambling establishments for the mafia in those days. Meyer Lansky had the Arrowhead Inn. And the only time he spent in prison for his entire career was for gambling in Saratoga Springs. I mean, not for Murder Incorporated or anything else that he did, right? He spent 9 months in jail for gambling here in Saratoga Springs. Lucky Luciano had a place called the Chicago Club. He enjoyed Saratoga because, of course, he enjoyed the racetrack. And he would tell people that when he retires, he's just going to follow the tracks from Saratoga to New York City to Florida on a circuit when he retired. That was kind of the situation, the layout in the late 1940s, and Kefauver shined a light on it.
Chief Veach told me that following the Kefauver hearings, there were no big raids or takedowns. Instead, there was a state probe and a grand jury investigation that included thousands of documents, hundreds of witnesses, and plea bargains in exchange for testimony. And with that, the age of rampant gambling in Saratoga Springs resort casinos came to an end around 1957. Today, Saratoga Springs is an historical and cultural tourist destination, a model city with a respected police department. To learn more about the city's notorious past, Chief Veach has authored two books covering the history of gambling, crime, and corruption in Saratoga Springs: All the Law in the World Won't Stop Them, and A Gangster's Paradise. You can order signed copies from gangstersofsaratoga.com. Books are also available through northshire.com and Amazon.
You've been listening to Polishing the Badge with Chief Mark Spahn. Share your story with us at info@spahngroup.com.